Welcome everybody to Disney World A to Z. This is the podcast for all things Walt Disney World from A to Z. We'll take you through the magic alphabetically. I'm your host, Emma. Today we have a very exciting trip report episode. We're going to hear all about overseas Disney, Tokyo Disney. So I have Jeff and Sarah here from Adults in Disney. They have an awesome website and Instagram page. And we're going to hear all about their recent trip to Tokyo Disney. How are you guys doing?
Oh, thanks. We're great, Emma. Thank you so much for having us on. We really appreciate it. We're excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for being on. I was watching your Insta stories, and it looks like you guys had such a cool time. Tokyo Disney, I've never been, and it's just always so cool seeing photos and videos of it because it seems like familiar, but like such a foreign, obviously a foreign country, but also like just the system works differently, and it looks so cool.
Yeah, it was our first time, and it was a bit of a learning experience for sure on some of the things, but we loved it. We had a great time.
That's awesome. So how long were you guys there for?
We were there for, I think, 8 days, 7 nights. We were in the park for 7 of those days. And, every day we went to the parks. We did not do anything in actual Tokyo. It was just a Disney trip.
It's hard when you go abroad to like do both the place and Disney. Like I've even found that in California that like there are all these things in California I want to do, but then obviously everything at Disneyland and like Disneyland Paris, like Paris, actual Paris is there and Disneyland Paris. So that makes sense to kind of focus just on one and not try to do both. But where did you guys stay?
So we actually stayed at several hotels. So we wanted to be doing like a bit of park hopping or hotel hopping, I guess I should say, just to be able to check out a bunch. So we thought just for our knowledge and knowing about it and then being able to kind of like share that with other people. So we actually stayed at, let me see if I count this right. So we had 4 hotels when we were
awesome.
There.
I love it.
Yeah, we did a bit hopping between those. We stayed at the Sheraton Marriott, which is right on the monorail for the longest. So we were there 4 nights. And then the other hotels, we were there just 1 night for each of the others. It was really fun to kind of be able to see all of the different hotels and kind of the different feel of them all. And we love them all. They're each kind of unique.
Yeah, I love that. My family are big resort hoppers. Like at Disney World, we love to, you know, it's like starting the trip over again. But how many hotels, like how many Disney hotels are there at Tokyo Disney?
I think there's like 3 close ones, and there's 1/4 one that's kind of far away. So like the 3 that are near it is, I think, the Ambassador, MiraCosta, and then the Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah, and from those, we stayed at the MiraCosta Hotel, which is the one that's inside the Disney Sea Park. So it's like right just inside the border.
Then
that one was our favorite, I think. and then the Disneyland Hotel is just outside the Disneyland Park. So those are definitely the ones that you just walk out your door and you're there. And then the other 2 hotels we stayed at were, so we walked over to the Ambassador Hotel and saw that at one point, but we didn't actually stay there. And then the other 2 hotels we stayed at were called Disney Official Hotels. Basically, like, it's kind of like the Disney Spring hotels that are sponsored and connected to Disney World.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So the thing that was nice there that's a little bit different than Disney World is they have 1 monorail that has 4 stops. And so walking and getting on the monorail from both the Sheraton and the Hilton was equivalent to, like, walking and getting on the monorail if you were staying at, like, Polynesian. So it's very, very easy, very convenient. You just don't get the same like Disney theming in the hotel, in the hotel rooms. So it's kind of the trade-off, but the convenience of those hotels was equal almost to the other ones. Like it was super, super easy.
That's so cool. The monorail goes out to them. What kind of loop does the monorail make?
It literally just like circles the 2 parks, and all the hotels are either in the parks for the 2 Disney ones, or the partner ones and the Ambassador are just kind of on the outskirts of the park. So all of them have a park view, rooms available. They're really just like across the street from the parks. It's just they're not right at the entrances of the parks. It might be at the back or the side of the parks.
Yeah, I would say the monorail is probably not that much bigger than like the one at Magic Kingdom, the contemporary monorail loop. And so basically just pretend that you have like your Magic Kingdom stop, and then where the Epcot stop, like where you switch over to the Epcot one, would basically be like the other park. I think the layout is actually different because they kind of butt up to each other. And then the two other stops would be like a stop for their shopping, like downtown Disney-ish type area in the main train stop. And then the other stop, the fourth stop, would be like the Sheraton Hotel, the Hilton, and the other hotels in that like stop, monorail stop.
Cool. It's so funny to think about like the different monorails like at Disney World. Like if the monorail could stop at every hotel, it would have to be like massive. Like that would be fun. But yeah, it's so compact and different. So so maybe take us to day one. What was the arrival like?
Sure. Okay. So yeah, day one we flew over. So we had a direct flight from DC over to Tokyo. So it was, how long was it, Jeff?
Like 15 hours, oh boy. Roughly, so, something like that.
How did it go? Had you done a long flight like that before?
I have done one before because I've been to China, but neither of us had been to Japan before. So it was Jeff's first super long flight, but it was a very enjoyable flight. We booked it on points, and we were able to do first class. Ooh. So yeah, it was lovely. it was very just kind of bizarre. So like you have the attendants were just so friendly. Any food you want. I have a horrible sweet tooth. So I'm like, can I have multiple desserts? And they're like, you can have as many desserts as you want. I'm like, okay, I'll take three.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it was, so it made the trip over very easy, very enjoyable. And it actually kind of helped that when we got there, we could pretty much check in, rest. And then we like started off, I feel like, not hugely jet lagged because of it. So yeah. it was awesome.
Yeah. And getting from the airport to the hotel was incredibly easy. They have this thing called, I think it was called limousine bus. It's not a limousine. It's just like a,
yeah,
Greyhound bus, but that's what it's called over there. It's bright orange. You can't miss it. It's, the entrance is right outside of the airport, and there's a route that just goes straight to all the Disneyland area hotels, and they'll stop at whatever hotels guests on the bus want to go to. And it was something like $14 to get out there for just over an hour ride, and it was incredibly easy.
Yeah, we know konnichiwa, so hi, and arigato, thank you. And that's, and sayonara, I guess, goodbye, but that's it for our Japanese.
Yeah.
And so I like to try, and so I would say like thank you and that kind of stuff, but we knew no Japanese, and we were able to like get everywhere very easily. It was a lot of like hand signals and stuff throughout the trip, but yeah, the bus was super easy.
That's great.
Yeah, so that first day we landed, we caught the bus, and at that point it was, I think, like 7 at night. It was relatively late, even Tokyo time, and so we just checked into the Hilton, kind of relaxed, and we just passed out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yep. Yeah, so that was kind of like day one, and then day two is when we knew we wanted to kind of get to the parks. Day two, I guess. So yeah. After we got up, we transferred or switched hotels. So the Sheraton, actually, you can just walk from the Hilton. So we just like got our bags, wheeled over. We didn't plan as much for this Disney trip because we knew we had so much time. So yeah, we were like, okay, we'll just get park tickets there because we weren't sure like how long we'd want or anything like that. So we went, and at the Hilton, you had to buy them with cash only. At the Sheraton, though, they took credit cards. So we didn't bring enough euros. So we're like, okay, thankfully the Sheraton. So I got the park tickets. Jeff checked us in, and then we went to DisneySea. So we had like debated beforehand which one we wanted to start at. Disneyland is more like Magic Kingdom and Disneyland in California. So we're like, all right, we'll start out with the one that's different.
Yeah.
DisneySea. So we went and headed over there to kind of start off our Disney trip.
Yeah, and it kind of matters in Disney in Tokyo which one you want to start at, because your tickets only let you into one park, and it's not like you get to pick after you buy them. It's printed on your ticket which park you're going to go into each of the first 2 days.
Oh, wow.
And then days 3 and 4 is where you can park hop. So you actually have to do a little bit of planning, we discovered, and decide which park you want to go to, because they close very differently on some days. At least when we were there, there were most days one park closed at 7 and another one closed at 10. So you didn't want to, you know, make the mistake of going to the one that closed at 7 if you can't park hop, if you wanted to spend the full day or stay out at night.
Yeah. And the most you could buy for day wise was a 4-day ticket. So unless you wanted to go an annual pass. And so we got the 4 day and then we're like, okay, we'll decide from that point, like how, if we want to spend the full 3 days, at Disney, or if we wanted to take a train into Tokyo. We ended up sticking it all at Disney, but yeah, so the most you could get is a 4 day. So you can't, yeah, you can't park hop those first 2 days, and then you could do it on 3 and 4. If you were staying at a non deluxe Disney hotel, so the deluxe Disney hotel tickets are a bit different.
Oh. Wow. So, that's crazy to see how differently. I saw on your Insta story the picture of like the price boards, and how they didn't sound very expensive. It was $200 for a day, or no, not $200 for a day.
Yeah, it was, you have it. It's the $200 for the four-day ticket. Yeah. So yeah, which compared to like Disney World and Disneyland is insanely good. We were like, "Oh my gosh, this is so much better." So yeah, it was extremely reasonable, and like the food and everything else was very reasonable too. Is the merchandise, they make their money on the merchandise. We realized
it's also cute and unique, and it sounds like there are lines, like crazy lines to buy it and stuff.
Yes, for
yeah,
sure.
If there's a Duffy bear available for purchase in a store, I think that the line has at least 1,000 people in it.
Yeah, it was nuts. Honestly, the merchandise lines would be longer than the ride lines sometimes.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I think I saw you guys got one of the popcorn buckets, the Steamboat Willie, or
it looked. Yes.
That was so cute.
Yeah, we normally aren't huge like merchandise people. We're more like eat all the food I can eat. So, but that was one where we were like, let's do it. And then it was like one of those, okay, well, where are we going to pack this? And so we made it work. But yeah, so that definitely the park ticket price difference is a huge, huge difference and a nice one for being over there. So yeah, so we went over, we got our park tickets, we went to DisneySea, and then we knew we wanted to definitely do Tower of Terror. So the FastPass system there is the paper ticket still. Wow. And so since we had transferred hotels, I think we were there pretty close to park open, but we weren't there like exactly at park open. So we're like, all right, let's just go over. We fast passed Tower of Terror, which they call like High Tower. So it's still Tower of Terror, but it's High Tower's Tower. So the theming's different. So we did that, and then we went and rode Journey to the Center of the Earth and 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. So the Disney Sea Park, I'd say, is completely different than any other Disney park. So, like, as different as Animal Kingdom is than any other Disney park, we felt like the same type of, like, you can't compare it really for the Disney Sea Park.
It looks so cool from all the pictures. And just hearing about the rides, like, oh, it just sounds like such a cool, kind of exciting concept, you know, like with the sea and the castles and the submarines and everything.
Yeah, it was amazing theming and, yeah, totally unique.
So with the fast passes, do they have an app or anything, or everything is, it's like old school, you go to the ride and you get a paper ticket for like an hour from that time?
So yeah, it's just a paper ticket and you just scan your park entry ticket. The only app type thing that I'm aware of that they had is if you are Japanese or you have access to the Japanese app store, you can put your park ticket on it. So instead of scanning your paper park ticket to then get a paper fast pass, you can scan your phone to get a paper fast pass, but you still got a paper fast pass at the end.
And yeah, there's nothing like Max Packs.
Yeah, and you still went in person to the place to get it. You couldn't like book.
Yes, yeah, you literally just would pull up your ticket on your phone and scan your phone in the little like reader instead of scanning your paper ticket. But other than that, yeah, there's nothing.
Yeah, it was bringing us back. We're like, okay. and it makes it a little harder to plan because then, like, you scan it, you're like, all right, well, what slot are they on? And then you kind of, like, have to game plan from there. So yeah. We did those rides. We ate at a place called Teddy Roosevelt Lounge. And so that was one of, like, I guess it was sit-down
restaurant. It was sit-down, but it was, like, an informal lounge.
Yeah.
Type place.
Yeah.
It was on board the giant ship. I think it's called the SS Columbia. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So we went in there. Okay. So there's this thing we found in Japan, and I don't know if it's a thing anywhere else besides Disney, but it's called a coffee float. And so I don't know why Starbucks doesn't do it here, but I'm going to talk about it everywhere I can to try to get Starbucks employees to hear about this. But it's just like an iced coffee, and then they put a scoop of hard vanilla ice cream in it. Mm. And it's delicious. I'm like, why is this not a thing?
That is weird, actually, because like root beer floats and like ices, and everyone loves coffee. Why wouldn't coffee and ice cream? That sounds great.
Yeah, it's basically like if you normally put cream in it, then it like serves as your milk. And if you don't put cream in it, like you have bonus vanilla ice cream. So yeah, it was, so we got that like multiple times. But the first time we encountered it was at the Teddy Roosevelt Lounge. So I was hooked.
The food all looked so delicious from the pictures, and it looks so unique.
Yeah, they had tons of, I definitely say like their snack game is really good. So they have tons of buns, and the popcorn is just ridiculous, all the different flavors that they have, and most of it very good. There was a garlic shrimp one which we steered clear of.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I think that was the only one we didn't try.
Yeah.
And if they had, we didn't try a plain one. I don't even know if they offered plain butter popcorn, but yeah, we tried, I can't even count how many flavors.
Oh, at least
what,
like,
were they? Like sweet, mostly, or
no? They did have sweet, but not mostly. They had savory. They had curry, barbecue
popcorn,
black pepper, strawberry, chocolate.
Yeah, the sweet one. So the strawberry. So there's a strawberry one, and then there was a chocolate one. So those were separate ones, and they're more like in the caramel corn realm. So they had like the hard coating. They were awesome. I had one that I liked a lot, or I guess two that I liked, and I don't think Jeff cared for as much. So I really liked the curry popcorn. I have a curry addiction. So I liked that one a lot. And then they had a soy sauce and butter popcorn, which was really unique. And I liked that one a lot too. But yeah, I'm normally not a huge popcorn at the parks person, but there it was like the thing. And yeah. Now I'm kind of a popcorn in the parks person. So yeah, it was really fun to try them all.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so that, like, we basically walked around, did some stuff. We didn't make it super late that day because we were a little bit jet-lagged. Yeah. And so we ended up going back to the hotel that night. And then we had chosen for our second day where you can't park hop to go to Disneyland. So the next morning, we woke up pretty early. I think we got there about park open for Disneyland. And even though the lines looked massively long, if you looked at it, so you have lots of people. And the people we noticed in Japan get there early. So in Disney World, you'll have some people who are there early, but I'd say the parks get definitely busier as the day goes on. Yeah. In Tokyo, like, they are there at the start the start.
Early birds.
But,
there were people queued outside the park to get in 3 hours before it opened.
Oh my gosh. That's,
I mean, it wasn't a lot, but there was enough that it wasn't just like one family who, you know, didn't know what time the parks opened. Like, they were there with a plan.
That's insane. In America, you'd only see that if there was some insane event going on or some, like, but gosh, 3 hours.
Yes, and we were there at a non-peak time of the year, too. Wow. So I don't even know what it would be like during a busy time, but.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, but even though there were so many people, so those people queued up early, we tend to get there, I'd say, like, 20 minutes before. A couple times we ended up going like 5 minutes before, but it really wasn't a huge deal. So I wouldn't recommend it for that time of year going that early. I'd say 20 to 30 minutes was sufficient because even though there's a lot of people, they don't have like the fingerprint system for scanning to get in. So it's honestly like a grocery checkout where you hold up your thing and they're like cling, 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 cling. And so they just pump people through so fast. So, like, the time difference, at least for, again, that time of year, was not at all worth it,
yeah,
I didn't think.
I mean, when we'd get there, we were quite a ways back in the line. I mean, enough so that if you were in America trying to get into Disney World, you'd probably be stressed that you'd be standing in line for 30 to 45 minutes. And as soon as we got in there one day, we actually timed it. And from the time we walked off the monorail to entering the park, it was something like 9 minutes. And in America, that same line probably would have taken us 45.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. So they were super efficient. And so, yeah. So that day at Disneyland, we went and did a couple of the rides there that I think are unique. I'm not aware of them in any other parks. So they have something called Pooh's Honey Hunt, which is not like the Winnie Pooh at Disney in Walt Disney World. So it's a trackless ride. So it'll be more like, I think, what they're doing with Ratatouille and that type of stuff. So it's really, really well done. Really good theming. And it's cool to see like how the carts move. And then we also did a Monsters Incorporated ride where you have like a flashlight. And so it's called Ride and Go Seek. And so you search for the monsters. So your flashlight light actually shines. And as you scan it on different things within the ride reacts. And so you'll have like monsters pop out or different things happening. Cool. Yeah, it was really cute. So I definitely think it was like a fun, different ride. Not like anything I've ever done at Disney before.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So, yeah. And then we caught a daytime parade. So we actually were there at the very end of their New Year's celebration. Aww. So I was like, oh, there's this New Year's parade, Jeff. Let's go. Let's go sit and grab a seat for this. And so we... they have their parade setups different than in America, and I don't know why the U.S. parks don't do this, but if you go to see a parade, the first three rows of, like, people are sitting.
They have to sit. It's enforced.
Yeah, it's enforced. Oh, so they'll walk around and tell you, like, you have to sit. You can't even sit, like, on a curb or anything. Well, like, you'll sit at the level, but if there's a curb behind you, you can't, like, at all try to raise yourself above people. And so, yeah, so they have first three rows sitting, and then they line people up to stand to take pictures. And so way more people can see.
That's so smart.
So yeah, we loved that, but we queued up for this New Year's parade because it was the only day it was happening in our trip that we were there, and we watched it, and it was honestly one float, and we're like,
it was so sad.
What is this, Disney? What are you going on? But then we realized it was just like this special New Year's float that they only bring out, and so though we were so sad, but then we saw a real daytime parade later on with like actual like proper characters and real floats and so all of that kind of stuff. But for the first parade, it was a fail. So if you're ever there in the New Year's and there's a New Year's parade and it's this one we saw, like, not worth it. We got so tricked. Jeff was not happy with me because he's not a huge parade person. He's like, that's it? And I'm like, I guess so.
Yeah.
The later ones looked like they made up for it, though. There was one I was seeing on your thing where Peter Pan and Wendy are, like, flying in the air. And for me, I thought, like, oh, do they do that the whole parade? Like, they must be. But I think they got lowered down, didn't they, for part of it?
Yes, yeah, I think they, like, give them a break, but they were lifting them back up pretty quick. It's like, you can have 10 seconds to recover and now go back.
You would have to be so, like, in such good shape. Peter and Wendy must be in good shape, but...
Yeah, that was the legit daytime parade that we caught later. But yeah, they had a few really good floats on that one. But I'd say the Peter Pan and Wendy was probably the best one. The Baymax one
I like the Baymax one. It was huge. I just how big Baymax was, and they had a bridge behind them, and it was an enormous float, bigger than I think any float in Disney that I've seen in the
past. Maybe like Maleficent Dragon-ish.
Maybe Maleficent Dragon, but I think this was even bigger.
Yeah, I don't know where they could store it. They need a warehouse for it.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Their parade designers must be super creative. Didn't like a bunch of stuff from Festival of Fantasy come from, I think, Tokyo? I can't remember now.
I have no idea, but I definitely could see that happening because their floats were really good.
Yeah, like, they had really good floats.
The nighttime parade looked cool, too. Was that, do both parks have parades or just Disneyland?
I think it's mostly in Disneyland. So in Disney Sea, they had
Lightning McQueen.
Lightning McQueen would drive around.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really a parade. It was just kind of him, you know, with some cast members dressed up in front and behind, and that was about it.
They did do so I'd say somewhat like a parade in the harbor. They would do characters on boats, and so because they have that giant harbor, they would basically like do glory loops. So they do like loops of like, hey guys, and then they do another loop. So it was like not the most exciting thing, but if you wanted to see characters or wave at the characters, and having them on the boat was kind of cool. That would, I'd say, be like the substitute for the parade there. Yeah, so, but I'd say the best parade, which we did a little bit, we actually did it twice later on in our trip, was for me the Electrolyte parade. And so that, like, I miss it so much from Disney World, and I wish they'd bring that back, but it was the Spectromagic Electromagic parade, was everything like you wished it was and more. Like, it was so well done. Yeah, Disney World needs to, like, repeat exactly what Tokyo does for that parade. It was so good.
That's so cool. I think there was one where, was it the genie was talking in Japanese and like
yes.
flashing all different colors?
Yes, that was exactly it. And it was for the parades, they would do a fair amount in Japanese, but sometimes they'd have certain songs or characters that would be speaking English. And so, yeah, it kind of jumped, I felt like, for parades and shows. A lot of the rides were Japanese. But didn't you feel it kind of switched?
Not really for the shows. They had one show that was all in English.
Yes.
But everything else was in Japanese, which was, I mean, it's fine. It was in Japan. It was just very different than, like, when we went to Paris. The shows actually were, like, half in English, half in French. They'd switch in between, but that was not the case here. But for the most part, you could follow along everything. Like, you could catch the shows, what was going on, or the rides. You could figure out.
Yeah.
I suppose it's all the stories and characters you know, so it's mm-hmm. familiar even while it's unfamiliar.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
And so, yeah, so then when we got to, like, our third and fourth day at the parks, we could park hop. So when we got to those days, we definitely took more advantage of that and kind of got in the switching back and forth. And we were still at the Sheraton at this point, so we didn't have to worry about resort hopping, so we could just kind of get up, start the day. Like one morning we got up and we got to Disneyland early. We did a ride and or got a fast pass. I think I went and grabbed a fast pass and Jeff was like, okay, I'm going to take some daytime photos. And so, I left him to kind of do that. I went and got probably popcorn and a fast pass and then, came back. And so we definitely, I think the fact that we like wanted to take pictures and, do stories and that kind of stuff definitely like made our trip more full. And whereas I think a normal fan, if they're not like taking pictures and doing that kind of stuff, they'd probably be good with like a 4 or 5 day trip. But I think because we were doing those kind of things, it made it better to have like the 7 days there.
Yeah.
So we did that, a bit of park hopping. We explored a lot more of like the details in DisneySea. So DisneySea has, I believe, 7 lands. And so each of the land is completely different feeling. So you have an Aladdin area, which is amazing detail, and a 2-floor carousel. And they had a Little Mermaid area, which we didn't even realize had. So we were like, oh, there's this indoor path. And so we thought it was just this outside area with a couple rides. And then they had like this whole indoor kiddie type area and
an entire theme park inside.
Yeah.
5 or 6 rides and
a
theater and like a maze jungle Jimmy type area for people and a food
and all
court.
Indoors.
Yes.
All indoors. And you would have
in
no
AC
clue it was
or
there.
In out of the weather. That's so smart.
Yeah, yeah, it was perfect. So it was in the summer it would be awesome. For us it got a bit cold on 1 or 2 days, but we were bundled up pretty good. We were wearing like multiple layers.
Yeah.
But it was still nice. Like if it ever did get super windy or cold, we could like duck out to the Little Mermaid area.
I wish they'd done something like that for like Toy Story Land. Although I mean, it must be enormously more expensive to put everything in the AC, especially like a roller coaster isn't going to fit. But Toy Story Land, like at Hollywood Studios, is so hot that it's like, why didn't they give some kind of, I admire them whenever they do think ahead and give AC or, shelter.
Yes, yeah, they just needed Andy to drop a little extra shade in there. So, yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah, they definitely had like options for if you needed to seek some blocks from the cold or the AC. Yeah. And then, so those nights were where we were jumping back and forth. We definitely caught like the light parade at Disneyland. So that was great. We saw that. We saw the fireworks show at Disneyland. We had
that?
The worst. It was it was pretty good. The castle show.
The castle show was good, but then they do actually have a fireworks show, which is terrible.
Yes.
The fireworks are in such a weird spot. They're like what appears to be hundreds of yards, if not further, to the left of the castle.
Wow.
I assume it's something to do with like that they're in a populated area or something like that. So maybe they launch them over the water. I don't know. But it was very weird. I had read beforehand that they're very small. They're in one spot and it's not where you'd expect them to be. So I kind of had an idea going in, but it was even weirder than I had imagined.
Yeah, if you picture yourself at like the hub in Magic Kingdom, the fireworks wouldn't go off behind the castle. They'd be like in Adventureland. Oh, so if you're looking towards like Adventureland,
it's weird.
That's like where they'd go. Yeah, it was definitely like we had just turned. We're like, okay.
So. Wow, so there they couldn't combine the, you know, like light projections with the fireworks because you're not even really quite looking at the castle when they're going
no,
off.
No, yeah.
Like with the projection show, what they have are these like mini fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the kinds they have that actually shoot off of the castle at Magic Kingdom. Yeah. They don't like explode into a big ball. They go like straight up. Mm. So they had those a bunch. They had a water features out front of the castle that move around and do stuff to add to it. So, I mean, they're really good shows. It's just a different kind of show than you would get definitely. At Disney World.
Yeah. And then the nighttime show at Disney Sea. So they do Fantasmic. And I think we tried to catch it three nights at the park, like in the park, in the harbor, and they canceled it all three times.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. So it was because we think it's because of weather. So at one point, a cast member was saying something about weather or wind, we thought, or the announcement said it. So it was super windy. So it definitely could have been that.
But they never did give an official reason. They would just announce a couple hours before that it was canceled for the night. And that was
it. That's too bad. Did you manage to get it another night, or it was all the nights it got canceled?
So we got insanely lucky. So on our sixth day there, so we switched to Hotel Miracosta.
Oh,
yeah. And so that's the hotel that's inside Disney Sea Park. So it's just inside the entrance. It's like you walk under that and you're in the Mediterranean Harbor, like their main kind of shop food spot. And it's also the area you'd see like the Fantasmic show, and you'd see their daytime Mickey on a boat shows. So we our splurge was at this hotel, and so we went for the room that you could view out right into the harbor.
Oh my gosh.
And so we actually went up to our room after park closed, and I think the park closed reasonably early that night. And so we went upstairs and we're like, okay, and we took some pictures of the park empty, because they clear people out fast.
Wow.
Like Jeff would be taking pictures maybe 20, 30 minutes after, and a cast member come up and like, be like, one more shot.
Yeah, we got kicked out of the parks as the last people, I think, four nights.
Yeah.
Where in Magic Kingdom, you can stay multiple hours after they almost don't even kick you out there.
Yeah.
Whereas here, 30 minutes, you were gone.
Like, whatever, just keep shooting.
Exactly.
Yeah. In Tokyo, no, they are like, okay, we're clear. We're clean, you're out.
I mean, they were very nice about it.
Yeah, they were super nice, but they were definitely efficient about getting everyone out. So by the time we got to our room, pretty much everyone else had been kicked out. And so we went and we took like a few pictures of the window. And so we started getting ready for bed, because we're like, all right, we'll go and we'll rest. And the room was nice, so we wanted to be able to kind of enjoy the Mickey theming and all that kind of stuff. And so we were like getting ready, and then I looked over at the window and I'm like, oh, it's so pretty. And I'm like, wait, there's people coming in. Like, what are all these people doing? So then I studied them for a while, and I'm like, Jeff, something's happening. And so we finally had them announce, like, welcome guests of corporations from something, something, something. So they had a massive,
oh
like,
my gosh.
How many people do you think it was?
Oh, thousands.
Oh yeah,
my
it was.
Gosh, they bought out the park. That's
yes.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It was nuts. So we could watch all of it happen from our room, and then because they're so important and bought out the park, they gave them the Fantasmic show. So they had canceled it for us who were in the park, but like I think it was modified, so you didn't get the fireworks.
Yeah, they did get a modified one. There were no fireworks for theirs. Uh-huh. Whereas maybe, because it was a private event, they were willing to show a modified version, but for normal guests who are there for like the magic of Disney or whatever, it's either like the full thing or nothing at all. I don't know, but
yeah, we don't know why it happened or maybe the wind had subsided enough that they could get away with doing it.
Because that was one of the days that they had canceled it for us just like 2 hours before.
Yeah. And so, so we were up there, and it was extra awesome because, well, we got to see it, and we cracked open our window, could hear the music.
Yeah, right from your room? Oh, my God.
It was, it was awesome. And they, because it was a corporate event, they had given everyone, I think they were like large glow sticks, or I don't know what it was. They had some kind of lighted object, and similar to the ears that are timed to the Disney shows, every person had these things. So the colors of the audience were changing as like with the show. So Yeah, we just got insanely lucky because it was just the one night we happened to be there and we just happened to look back at our... If I had gone to sleep and later found out that happened, I would have been devastated. But yeah, it was like just one of those like extra magical moments that you don't expect, but it was just... It was so awesome. So yeah, so we got to see it from our hotel room.
That is amazing. I wonder if they were filming something like with all the sticks or... Oh my gosh, that sounds so cool.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, it was really, really pretty. Yeah, we got very lucky. So yeah, the Miracosta Hotel was our favorite. It had, like, all those details, really good, like, Mickey amenities and all of that kind of stuff. And so we were there one night, and then we switched for our last night to the Disneyland Hotel. And so that's the one that's just outside the Disneyland park. And I would say Disneyland Hotel maybe had a similar feel in some ways to like Grand Floridian. So it kind of channeled that vibe.
Yeah, more of like the grand fancy hotel, I guess.
Flagship resort.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, whereas Miracosta was like ship and themed and that kind of stuff.
And it was very small.
It was much smaller, yeah. Whereas, the Disneyland Hotel was definitely bigger.
It was huge.
Yeah. So that was our kind of like last hotel stop. So we went over there, we checked in, and we did the afternoon tea at the Dreamers Lounge there.
Oh.
And so yeah, we really enjoyed that. It was like a full afternoon tea. A few of the items were a bit different, but I still like trying new foods and all that kind of stuff. The dessert options were awesome. So I have again a sweet tooth, so I really liked it. We really enjoyed it. I would definitely recommend it to anyone in Tokyo. But honestly, we think we liked the one at the Grand Floridian more.
Oh, really?
So it was still really good and everything else. But like, if you haven't done an afternoon tea, like you have an awesome one in Orlando, and we think we like it even more. So that was our kind of meal there. I forgot to say, when we were at the Miracosta, we had done our main sit down meal at Disney Sea when we were there. And so that we ate at Magellan's. We did look into restaurants a bit before we went, and that was kind of the one everyone kept bringing up.
Yeah.
And so Magellan's was in the Disney Sea Park, and it was, what, three courses?
Yeah, I think three or four. Yeah, I don't remember exactly how many, but it's like, as far as I could tell, one of their nicer restaurants, and food was good, service was good, bill was very cheap.
Yes.
Oh, you would.
It was three courses, and we each got coffee. You could have coffee, iced coffee,
I got a
or
beer.
Tea. Jeff got a beer, and I think it was like, what was it?
Like in the 70s, high 70s.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice for like a nice
dinner.
Yeah,
and for one of their nicer restaurants.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was, we were like, knowing Disney restaurants, we were like, okay, yeah. We're like prepared for this. But yeah, it was extremely reasonable given like the service and everything else. So it was a really cool restaurant. I definitely would say... to anybody who's going to Tokyo Sea, and if you're trying to go to Magellan's, check out the menu first, though, because there are not many choices. And so I think there was, like, beef tongue. there was a seafood option. We both got the pork. There was no chicken. I don't know if there was a vegetarian option, but it was definitely a smaller menu. Everything we had was very good.
If you're a picky eater, it might be not the greatest place.
Yes, yeah, I definitely agree. And they also have an awesome bar upstairs. So if for some reason you can't get a reservation, definitely go like check out the bar there. You could get a coffee float even if you don't drink alcohol. Yeah. So,
would you say that was your favorite restaurant?
Yeah, I think so. I enjoyed it. I liked the theming in it. The food was good. They have this cool room that's hidden.
Ooh.
It's near the restrooms, but there's a dining area in there, and it's behind this bookshelf, and you can walk up to it, and there's a little hidden button you push, and then the bookshelf opens, and you can go in, and I think there's something like four or five tables in there.
I think if you're eating
in there, it might be a little weird because so many people come up and push it and then walk in and look around.
Yeah.
But it was pretty neat to see.
Oh, that's so much. Yeah, it's probably like sitting next to the rose at Be Our Guest.
Yes. That's definitely the comparison. Yeah, you're spot on. So, and then one other thing for like the two parks that I don't think we've talked about, but so they do have a couple good shows in addition to the nighttime shows and like the parades. So in Disneyland Park, they have a thing called One Man's Dream, and that's more like Disney characters and them singing on stage. So if you have like a kids that are big character people, or if you're a big character person, like that's a really good option. And then the Big Band Beats that I think Jeff mentioned before is set in like New York jazz type setting. Yeah. And that one is so funny because we were in the audience and everything is in English to keep with the theme because it's like New York City jazz scene. And so we understood everything and like they said maybe one or two words in Japanese. And so I felt like it was catered perfectly towards us because we could follow all the jokes and everything else. And everybody else around us, I think, was just not following. But the music and everything was great. And there's definitely character appearances and stuff. But for both of those shows, so One Man's Dream is in Disneyland, The Big Band Beats is in DisneySea, they have this thing that's a free lottery. And so what you do is they have these machines and you'd go up at the beginning of the day and you'd scan your park ticket and you just basically pick a showtime and then it's like, you won the lottery and then you get reserve seating.
I don't think it does that. I don't think anybody wins. 7 days, two parks, two shows, we lost everyone.
That's so true. We did. We didn't win once. Aww. Then we kept hearing like the wah, wah, wah and over and over. And it took us through like time six. I think we had done, because you can do every park or both parks. So we had done it multiple times. And then we finally figured out there's an English button. So we were like scanning it and we're like, I'm pretty sure this means okay in Japanese. And like there's kind of like check mark type things. And so we figured out the sequence in Japanese. Then we finally realized there's an English translator button. But we were still losing. We knew from the music.
Aww,
but yeah, so there is a lottery. If you happen to get it, then you don't have to like stand and wait in line. But but that's something I'm not aware of that like lottery system happening in any other Disney park. Yeah.
No. Yeah, that's unique.
Yeah, so but yeah, we feel like you can't win. I didn't see anyone around me win either, so at least I didn't have that kind of thing. But yeah, we lost every
time. It wasn't
that
bad. The first show of each of them in the morning or in the afternoon, whatever the first show is, they don't give lottery tickets for. So it's 100% standby. And then even the ones that have lottery tickets, there is standby room for them. You just have to go wait. Yeah. So we just went to the first showing each day of it. And One Man's Dream, we definitely got there too early because we didn't know how it worked yet. And so we waited probably 30 minutes or so. Big Band Beat, we walked in 5 minutes before the show started and we were fine.
That was, I think, partly because it's quieter time of the year. The cast members told us that normally you want to get there like 45 minutes early. So I think we just got lucky that it wasn't busy that day. But
I was going to say 30 minutes isn't even all that long for like Disney World in terms of a wait time. For the rides, were they mostly like pretty manageable, the wait times?
Yeah, so our only long wait was our first ride of the trip. We waited in line for probably around an hour for Journey to the Center of the Earth. Other than that, I would say we waited no more than 30 minutes for anything.
That's nice.
I mean, if you needed to go on a certain ride, like Pooh's Honey Hunt was really popular. So if you needed to go on that and you didn't have a fast pass and it was your only day, you know, you might have waited an hour and a half if it was the middle of the afternoon. But we didn't. We didn't need to do it. You could get a fast pass if you knew it was a ride you wanted to go on. And yeah, rides were very manageable.
Yeah, the one ride I think that is the busiest is Toy Story Mania.
Yes.
And so when you stay at the hotels, there's kind of like two main perks, in my opinion, that you get. And so one of them is that you can get park tickets where you can park hop from day one. So when we switched hotels and we switched to Hotel Miracosta, our 4-day ticket was up. And so we bought a 3-day ticket from them there. And you can, I think it's only a couple dollars extra. And it allows you to park hop day 1, 2, and 3. So we could keep park hopping. And so that was kind of our debate between that or some other ticket options. And so, yeah. So that's, I'd say, one of the big perks is buying it there and you get the bonus park hopping thing. And then the other big thing that you get is, they call it Happy 15. And so at the Miracosta Park, you get in 15 minutes early, which when we have an hour at Disney World doesn't seem like very much. but basically lets you go in, grab a fast pass and get on one ride pretty much before anybody else gets in the park. And then at Disneyland, they actually give you a half an hour to get in the park early. But it's weird because in that half an hour, you only have Buzz Lightyear to ride.
Oh, wow.
Which is the same as ours.
Which is,
I mean, it's a little bit nicer maintained, I think. But the guns work.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was it for a half an hour. And then you kind of just go and stand in front of the line or the ride you want to get a fast pass or ride, yeah. and nothing at 9 o'clock when everyone else gets to come into the park, you're already there, so you beat them to it. But it seemed like, I'm not sure why there was 30 minutes instead of just 15.
Yeah. You basically could ride Buzz and then get in line for a fast pass. That's what we should have done, but we didn't really know. We're like, okay, what's open? And we just assumed there'd be more than Buzz. But it wasn't. So we asked like multiple cast members because we're like, well, maybe they're not understanding us. And then we Googled it and we're like, nope. So that was, I'd say, the other perk, though. It's still nice to be in there before the other people.
Yeah, because so for Toy Story, Toy Story Mania, literally 99% of the people going to Disney Sea at open go to Toy Story. Oh. And it is identical to the one in Disney World, except for the queue is a little different.
Yeah.
But it's nuts. It makes Pandora, the crowds there, look like nothing.
Oh my gosh. That's insane.
It really is. I don't know why.
And they've had that ride for a while. Like Flights of Passage is still fairly new, but hasn't Toy Story Mania been around for quite a while?
I don't know when they got it, but I mean, it wasn't brand new because I've read of other people doing it in the past.
Yeah, yeah, it was everyone went to it. Wow. So like we just need to do this so we can say we've done it. And so our last day, our second to last day, we went in the 15 minutes early, we got a fast pass, we walked on and rode it before our fast pass. We were like, okay, like this is the same as the U.S. in Japanese. And so, if you've been on Toy Story Mania in the U.S., we would not recommend that plan.
Yeah.
I would go do some of the other rides, but.
Yeah, I mean, the fast pass line, to get a fast pass would be like 45 minutes, 10 minutes after the park opened. Yeah. And they'd be gone within an hour or two of the park being open for the full day. So, 13, 14 hours out, they were already gone.
That's crazy. Did you ride It's a Small World? Because I think different. Isn't it different? Don't they have like Anna and Elsa or?
Yes. Yeah. So they have some different scenes that we don't have in the U.S. parks, at least not at Disney World. And then they have characters throughout all of it. So, yeah, they have... oh my gosh, everybody from like Stitch, Anna and Elsa, I think like Mulan is in there. So there's a lot of characters throughout that ride. I think they had just refurbished it not that long ago. And so it was very like nicely maintained and loads of characters.
Good. That's so cool. I was this past Halloween at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, I went as a Small World girl. One of the Scandinavian dancers. But when I was planning the costume, I was like Googling the internet trying to find a close-up. It's surprisingly hard to find like a close-up of the Small World characters. You'd think that there would have been like some crazy fan who would have like cataloged them all, but anyway, I found these pictures of Tokyo Disney Small World and I was like, oh my gosh, this looks insane. Because in California Disneyland, they do have like Lilo and Stitch and like some of the characters, but they don't have Anna and Elsa. Like, I thought the Disneyland Small World was really cute, but like the Tokyo Disney, just from the photos, looked like a whole other step up.
Yeah, yeah, it was basically like find the Disney characters, and there was lots of them.
So. Yeah, but I think they did it well. They didn't like overwhelm anything. They were the same size, not highlighted, just in there. And
they're in the appropriate country.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah.
Were there any other like slight differences? I mean, Tower of Terror is obviously a different one, but like any other, is Haunted Mansion the same or is it different?
Oh, you're breaking up.
I don't know.
So it was refurbished when we were there. So we were so sad. So,
yeah, Haunted Mansion is the ride that seems to always be the worst for us. So when we went to Paris, it was also being refurbished.
It's cursed.
It is. We are cursed on it. So yeah, we sadly didn't get to do that one. But I'd say like Space Mountain is different. It's the two-seaters and you load how you do in Disneyland. I thought that was...
Yeah, that's more like Disneyland. Mm-hmm.
Splash Mountain had some scenes that are not in the U.S. parks. And
I liked it better. Splash Mountain was awesome. The queue was awesome. You're actually in a giant tree with tree roots growing through the whole time for almost the whole queue. And the scenes were better.
Yeah, that one was really good. We did ride the Jungle Cruise. And it was completely in Japanese.
Yeah.
And no one was laughing. And so, like, we just, like, randomly would laugh when he was done. And I need to Google it, but like, I'm hoping they say jokes, but it could be like, this is an elephant and the elephant is an African elephant. And so it might have been informative and we were just the horrible Americans laughing at all the jokes, but we felt bad because like no one was laughing at his jokes. And so, but yeah, so we rode that. It was a similar ride, but we couldn't tell you if they do like the backside of water. So...
wow, a straight-faced Jungle Cruise, that would be different.
it was yeah, no one was laughing or anything, so we were like, what's going on? But yeah, I'd say most of the rides had like slight differences, but like overall themes,
yeah,
the
like
same.
Thunder Mountain was very similar, the queue was almost identical, but it was a little bit longer. There was a couple extra scenes, like you went through a cave with bats. That was kind of cool. And for the most part, the same.
The Disneyland rides were very similar. The Disney Sea stuff was minus Tower of Terror, which the theming is different, and Toy Story Mania. All of the other rides, I think, for the most part, were completely different. We had Indiana Jones was also really good. I can't remember if it's exactly the same or just similar to Disneyland.
I think it's similar.
I think it's similar but different. It's like a dinosaur-type track and car. But yeah, it was that was really good. But I'd say the biggest differences at the parks that I wish like were in America are the park parade lines, like how they have people sit. I'm like, come on, do that. Also, the cast members. So if you take like some of the favorite cast members you've interacted with that are just really enthusiastic, that was how every cast member was in Tokyo. They were all just... yeah, they were so friendly, so enthusiastic. We knew nothing for the most part of what they were saying most of the time, but they're like, da-da-da, 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 and then like point to the seat, and we're like, okay. And so, yeah, they were just wonderful.
Aw, that's so great. And so nice with like the language barrier that obviously didn't make a difference, that you guys got had a great time.
Yeah, it was the language thing, really, we didn't know what it would be like, but it wasn't bad at all. You always knew where you could find an English-speaking person, so at like the information booth, at the front desk at all the hotels, and if you needed something, like, so we asked one person, how long should we come back for Big Band Beat, and she had no idea what we were saying, but she knew we spoke English, so she actually just went and found a coworker who did speak English and brought her over to us, and she answered our question, even though like she certainly didn't have to do any of that. So yeah, the cast members were unbelievable there.
Yeah, and the park was like so clean. So there was, I swear, if somebody accidentally dropped something, it was immediately like gone. Like, it was pristine. Everything was so well maintained, so clean. I don't know how they do it, because there's still like
everything
a lot of
worked. There was zero trash anywhere. It was incredible.
And so I know like the cast members in the U.S. work extremely hard, and everyone keeps it so much. But I just don't understand in Tokyo how they keep it as perfect looking as it does. Like, it was nuts.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, this is a random question, but I'm curious, with your phones, like, getting on the internet, did you, like, just add something onto your plan, or did you, like, because I know, like, when I've gone to, like, England, I'll often, like, buy a SIM card in, like, a gas station or something, and then just put that in my phone. But how did it work in Japan?
Yeah, so that was the only part of our trip that I think we felt like didn't work well. We were considering this thing called like a MiFi, which is just a little portable Wi-Fi thing, but ultimately we ended up just going through Verizon, who that's my carrier, and using their international plan, which is $10 a day. You get pretty decent amount of data.
That's
and
not
it
too
worked.
Bad.
No, the price wasn't that bad or anything. And the days and times that it worked, sometimes it worked well, and then sometimes it worked like what I imagine. If you know what dial-up is like, what that speed would have been like. And then there was times where it just didn't even work at all. So if you have a Verizon phone, you're considering that option, I would strongly encourage you not to. But Sarah has AT&T, and so we ended up doing it with hers too, and AT&T's worked fine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't really know what the deal was with Verizon, because when it did work well, it worked just as well as the internet here, but...
yeah.
I don't know why it didn't.
AT&T definitely works better over there, I would say. I'd say the hotel Wi-Fi was all fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, when it wasn't working on Verizon and we, like, hadn't done anything about that. Basically, we'd like go back to the hotel and take a break and be like, all right, I'm uploading all my stories. So like we would every once in a while, like I'd have everything like queued up, ready to go. And I'd be like, oh my God, like the internet is non-existent. And so, yeah. So the couple of times where you'd get like five stories and it's like, wow, how'd they do all of this in this amount of time? I was like, okay, I've got internet. Let's go, go, go. So yeah, that was definitely something that I think we would definitely just do like AT&T straight the whole time or get the MiFi.
So there wasn't Wi-Fi in the parks, just at, like free Wi-Fi, just at the hotel.
No, they do not have that there.
Yeah. Yeah. So at least like, not that we could find on our phones and not that we could figure out, but I'm pretty sure it's just the hotels.
Yeah. Yeah. Disneyland in California, I don't think, does not have free Wi-Fi. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, interesting. Oh, wow.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I'm almost sure because I feel like, or maybe that was a couple years ago, but I feel like I remember being in that park and being like, how do they not have one? Maybe they do now, actually. Now I can't remember when that trip was, but yeah. It's weird how quickly you get used to it, because I remember when they first said, oh, free Wi-Fi in the parks, it was like, wow, that's great, because it used to be like $10 a day for dial-up in the hotels, but then it's like, but you just so fast, it like take it for granted, so.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely were shot back a little bit for there.
Yeah, it was fine at times, and others it was tough to remember what it's like to not have internet on your phone.
It could be refreshing, maybe, then you enjoy your vacation more in the moment.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Yeah, we were more in it in the moment at that time, but at the same time looking at it being like, is it back? So, but yeah.
Oh, gosh, it sounds like you had such an amazing time. Do you have any last favorites to share?
I would say just get all of the snacks. There was so many, so definitely try the popcorn. So I'm a food person. I like the rides too, but like the food is equally excited for me, and I guess the hotels are really fun as well. But try, like, even if there's, we only had one snack that Jeff, I think, threw it away before I could even like figure out what it was. But like Triumel, and I loved, they had so many different buns with stuff filled inside of them. Wow. Like one was chicken and corn, and one had like maybe a pork or something. But all of the food there was so fun to try and explore. So I really liked those type of things. And the theming of Disney Sea is just ridiculously good. So we, like, if you just have one day in Tokyo and you're going to Disney for just one day, you have to pick a park. Like, my vote 100% is Disney Sea.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Disney Sea is just so unique and different than any other Disney park that, I mean, it's my favorite park in the world, like standalone park that I've been to. And if you can get there, or if you have a day, definitely make it be that park is your go-to one.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I'd love to get out. It's just such a long flight. Like, it seems so far away, but yeah, I'd love to get out there someday. It sounds incredible.
Yeah, yeah. It's, if you can make the flight work out, then once you get there, everything else is pretty reasonably priced. Like, the hotels, especially if you're off-season, were very, very reasonable for like the Sheraton. Super convenient.
The food was cheap. Ease of doing things there. We weren't sure, like I said, with the language barrier, was it going to be easy, hard? Everything was so easy to do. Everything is in English in terms of like the signs at the airport and the menus and everything. So, I mean, it's obviously in Japanese, but there's also English everywhere. And yeah, it was very traveler friendly place to be.
That's so cool. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing all about your trip. It's been so much fun to have you on.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
We had so much fun, so we appreciate you having us on here.
Yeah, so if you guys listening are not following these guys yet, definitely head to Instagram, Adults in Disney, and it's adultsindisney.com. Is that
correct?
That's it.
Yeah, you guys have such gorgeous photos and such a fun feed, so.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, well, that's about it. If you're not following the podcast on social media yet, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, DisneyWorld A2Z. And you can check out more episodes on wdwa2z.com. So thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys again for being on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
All right, we'll talk to you guys again later. Have a magical day.